iHeart and on the WHPC app.
90.3 WHPC.
Wednesday, 5 p.m. It was a very long Wednesday for me. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad to be on the other side of the 5 o'clock hour right now. And I'm very happy to be here at 90.3 WHPC to spend an hour with you. So I'm therefore also very grateful that you've tuned in to join us. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. Hope you'll be sticking around for the entire hour. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, is here as well, running the board. And we plan on doing what we do just about with some regularity every Wednesday at this time. We have two lists that we compiled, oh boy, I don't even know how long ago, 5 years ago, I suppose, where we started with a list of the 500 favorite alternative albums, and we needed a definition for alternative. So by alternative, we decided that the best way to define it would be to say an album that never made the top 40. It just seemed like a very simple, clean way to do that. So that was where we began, and we compiled our list of 500 albums, and we even started doing a series of shows based upon that list. And then it occurred to me, after doing that for about a year, I guess, that it would have been wise to compile another list that runs alongside it that consists of our 500 favorite albums that did make the top 40. Now, that's exactly what we ended up doing, and then we basically did the top 40 albums until we caught up, and now we are pretty much just running through these two lists simultaneously in chronological order based upon the release date of the album. The best thing about this, as far as we are concerned, is that we get to promote albums, because albums really got a pretty heavy kick in the butt in the past 10 years with streaming services and with all the digital things that have been going on. It seemed as though albums were becoming either irrelevant or overlooked. And that seemed crazy to me, because albums were the thing that pretty much defined how popular music was distributed and recorded, and how artists thought about selling their product for pretty much almost a century. I guess you could say maybe at least say 70 years or 75 years. So it just seemed wrong that albums were going to be somehow becoming obsolete, or there was a certain indifference to it. So the timing for the show seemed ideal. And it's really kind of cool now, because we get a lot of reaction from a lot of people. And we save every show that we do on our website, which is AmericanHitNetwork.com. And since that's the case, people are visiting the site all the time to listen to shows, these shows, about albums that they don't know, or about albums that they know that they love, but they want to hear, they like to hear the album, maybe hear some of the information that we provide about the album that they did or did not know. And it's been a lot of fun. So this is exactly that. I'm sorry for the entire rant here, but that's pretty much how we set it up. And every now and then I like to let the world know what it is that our intentions are, and the, you know, the reasons behind the whole thought process of how it began. So we have so far played exactly 222 albums from the top 500 of the top 40 list. That's the top 40 list. And we've played a similar number. I don't know exactly what it is, because I don't have the book in front of me, but we played a very similar number of the alternative. So that means, like, so far out of 1,000 albums, we've already covered about over 400 of them anyway. So we're getting pretty deep into what we're doing. Except we'll have to go back to 1955, won't we, Heidi? At some point, because we started in 1964, and then when I was getting near the end of the list, I said, you know, I should really start at the beginning of the album era. So I went back. So we'll have to do that. We'll get there.
If I don't talk, people think you're just talking to yourself, and I thought that was funny.
In a way, I am talking to myself, aren't I? It's easy to feel that way on the radio sometimes. But album number 223 from our top 40 list is an album from September 1973. We just spent about a month and a half on August, so at least we're in a new month now. And the album is by Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. I cannot tell you how many people have asked me when I was going to cover this album, and I find that really crazy. The album is Overnight Sensation. And I've been asked for, I'm not kidding, I think for about the past 3 or 4 years, people have been questioning me.
And I think you'll be glad to know there are zero unsupported files on what you brought in today.
So. No, there are, really?
No, there are zero unsupported.
Oh, they're all supported.
They are all supported because there are zero that are unsupported.
Don't talk backward like that. You give me a heart attack. Scare me to death. We've had shows where I come in and
I thought you would be happy to know that there are zero unsupported files.
I do all this prep, and every now and then, sometimes, like, yeah, there's like digital errors, and it takes the whole thing away from me, and we have to like really rally. But no, we're going to have a nice, peaceful show now, is what you're telling me. Thank you. So, yeah, Overnight Sensation. It just seems like there's a lot of people that love, love, love this album, and they were just, I don't know, they just. I'm not kidding. I bet you I was asked by about close to a half dozen people specifically about this record. And I found that kind of odd. Because critics, when this album came out, critics were not kind to it. But I think what it is there's a lot of people that really do appreciate Zappa. And if you are a Zappa fan, the Zappa album that you tend to like love the most usually is Overnight Sensation, because it's actually commercial, I suppose. That's the wrong word, but it's easy to enjoy the music. That a lot of Zappa's albums are so heavy and convoluted with crazy time signatures, instrumental breaks.
Would you say this is the most accessible?
Yeah, that's a good word. It's accessible. And yet, there are more songs about lewd and illicit sex and about cheap and about phony culture than just about anything else that anybody else has ever made, which means that a lot of people could easily get offended by this record. So a lot of people even said to me, when you do play the album, are you going to have to edit it? Are you going to have to fade certain parts out? No. No, I don't. There's absolutely no reason that I can think of to do that. I don't think there's a single, you know, none of the non-allowed words appear on the album. There's a track, like I said, there's the weird, lewd, sexual innuendo stuff that pops up all over the place is, there's nothing that says you can't play it on the radio. In fact, when this album came out originally on FM, they used to play it all the time, including the song Dynamo Hum, which I am going to be playing in its entirety. So, since I'm not afraid to get into it, let's just get this started with the opening track, and we'll move on from there. It's a song called Camarillo Brillo.
She had that Camarillo Brillo flaming out along ahead. I mean her Mendocino Beano, by where some bugs had made it red. She ruled the toads of these short forests and every newt in Idaho and every cricket who had chorus by the bush in Buffalo. She said she was a magic mama and she could throw a mean tarot and carried on without a comma that she was someone I should know. She had a snake for a pet and an amulet, and she was breeding a dwarf
But she wasn't done yet. She had gray green skin, a doll with a pin. I told her she was all right, but I couldn't come in.
I couldn't come in right then.
And so she wandered through the doorway, just like a shadow from the tomb. She said her stereo was four-way, and I just love it in her room. Well, I was born to have adventure, so I just followed up the steps, right past a fuming incense stencher, to where she hung her castanets. She stripped away her rancid poncho and laid out naked by the door. We did it till we were on concho, and it was useless anymore. She had a snake for a pet and an amulet, and she was bleeding a border, but she wasn't done yet. She had gray green skin, a doll with a pin. I told her she was alright, but I couldn't come in.
Actually, that was very busy.
And so she wandered through the doorway, just like a shadow from the tomb. She said a stereo was four-way, and I just love it in her room. Well, I was born to have adventure, so I just followed up the steps, right past a fuming incense stencher, to where she hung her castanet. She said she was a magic mama, and she could throw a mean tarot, and carried on without a comma, that she was someone I should know.
Is that a real poncho? I mean, is that a Mexican poncho or is that a Sears poncho? No fooling.
There you go. Now, the thing about it is it's like one of the few times in his career up until this point where Frank Zappa was writing songs that were pretty much written as conventional song form. He was usually nowhere near conventional song form. And it, as you can hear, Camarillo Brillo is sort of a pop song in some ways.
Wow.
In some ways. I mean, in its structure.
Yes.
And in the instrumentation.
Yes.
Of course, lyrically, it's totally wacky. I mean, Camarillo, he's really talking about, I guess, the city of Camarillo in California, but that wouldn't rhyme with Brillo.
Right.
And, you know, did it until we were on concho. You know,
right.
he's having fun with the language on this album. Eventually, he got bored with the song. And but because of its popularity, he played it live a lot, but he ended up editing it and playing it much faster in his live shows. So it's almost like he was
just get it over with.
Yeah, probably like he was trying to get through it or something. But I mean, it's an awesome tune, and it really set up a different stage of his career. Like, for example, we're playing this as a great hit album, not an alternative album. And this is Frank Zappa. You know, believe me, most of his albums are definitely from the alternative side of the fence. But this album made it to number 32 on the pop charts. And like I said, it got a lot of airplay on FM. I don't think I've ever heard any of it on AM stations. But and I don't know if contemporary listeners even would make that difference between AM and FM or what it meant. But back in the day, AM was where they would play all the commercial songs that were on the top 40.
Right.
And easy listening stuff like
and
that.
And FM was known as the album.
Right.
Band.
Exactly. Where, you know, DJs.
Long plays.
Yeah. You wouldn't be afraid to play a 17-minute song if you wanted to. It was hipper. And it was
where all the cool kids started hanging out.
And FM changed music a lot in the early 70s when FM really became quite popular because this the sound was better and people were buying FM radios all over the place. I mean, in the 60s, AM ruled for a very long time. But it was the early 70s when FM really began to kick in. And Frank Zappa definitely benefited from that because he was exactly that sort of character that worked on the FM side of things where AM wouldn't really want to touch him. Okay. Well, I said that there's two themes on the album. One was, you know, basically Strange Sex. We've already had that on Camarillo Brillo. And this next song is, again, this time it's about culture, TV culture, and how it like basically ruins your mind if you basically succumb to it. If only we listened then, because I think it only got worse since then. I mean, how many hours do some people spend in front of a television on in an average day? It's almost an outrageous number. You come home from work, and then when you're done working, the TV is on. And so many houses that I visit, friends that I go to, I mean, I listen to music all the time. I don't watch TV really ever, but pretty much every other human being who I know does. And if I'm at their house, it's the TV that's on. If they're at my house, they sometimes ask me to put on my TV while I'm listening to music so they can at least see it. This song is pretty much about that culture, and it's called I'm the Slime. I'm the slime coming out of your TV set. It, you know, that was a single. They edited it, just a couple, I guess some of the musical bits out, but because the song didn't have anything that was going to be offensive too much in any direction, except the fact maybe some people would be offended by the fact that he's insulting television is one of the big evils of society. But that was, in edited form, a single for Zappa for the album, and a different mix as well. Do you know who the background singers are?
No.
You have no idea?
No. I don't know. I'm maybe... Kind of, but not really.
It's the Iketts.
Oh, wow.
It's Tina Turner.
Oh, wow.
Is doing the, is basically, those are the, that's who does the backup singers on the entire album. Zappa was recording in a studio, I think, that was like being run by Ike at the time. So, and he wanted to use, and he wanted harmony. So he asked if he could use the girls. And he says, yeah, I want $25 a song. And Zappa ended up paying him like $25 an hour as opposed to a song. And they worked for about a day. And this is, some of the harmonies were harder than others. And they all thought that the songs were totally weird. Ike came in the middle of it and he was like...
Not a very good negotiator.
Yeah, Ike's walking in while, you know, because Tina wanted to hear the songs. And Ike was like, what is this bleep? You know, he totally did not get what Zappa was trying to put down. But yeah, that's
a lot of people didn't get what Frank Zappa was trying to put down.
No, but I mean, this was the album, though.
This one.
I think this is the album that actually basically turned him on to a lot of people, though. I think myself included. I think this might have been the very first time I heard a Frank Zappa album. Was Overnight Sensation. All right, we'll keep going. But it's probably going to go back and forth between whether we're talking about society or whether we're talking about sex. But this song is called Dirty Love.
Give me your dirty love, like you might surrender to some dragon in your dream. Give me your dirty love, like a pink donation to the dragon in your dream. I don't need your sweet devotion, and I don't want your cheap emotion.
Whip me up some dragon lotion for your dirty love, your dirty love.
Give me your dirty love, like some tacky little pamphlet in your daddy's bottom drawer. Give me your dirty love, I don't believe you never seen his book before. I don't need no consolation, I don't want your reservation. I only got one destination, and that's your dirty love, your dirty love. Like your mama make her fuzzy poodle do. Give me your dirty love, the way your mama make that nasty poodle chew. I'll ignore your cheap aroma and your little Bo Peep diploma.
I'll just put you in a coma with some dirty love, some dirty love, that dirty love.
The poodle bites.
Come on, Frenchie.
The poodle chews his
nappy.
The poodle bites.
Come on, Frenchie.
The poodle chews his
nappy.
The poodle bites.
Come on, Frenchie.
The poodle chews his
nappy.
Poodle bites.
Come on, Frenchie.
Poodle chews.
Not a speck of cereal.
Poodle bites.
Come on, Frenchie.
Poodle chews.
Nothing but the best for my dog.
Poodle bites.
Come on.
Yikes, man. He goes deep on that one with the strange sex stuff. But I mean, this is, you know, this is exactly the territory that Zappa loves to cover. And it's hard to beat the band. Wow. The musicians on the album are just kind of stunning. Zappa's guitar solo on that song, for example, just to start with the main man. I mean, stunning guitar solo. Fantastic. Tom Fowler on bass. Ralph Humphrey on drums. Incredible work. Bruce Fowler, who also plays with Captain Beefheart in the Magic Band. He's on trombone. And Ian Underwood, along with Ruth Underwood, who is the plays percussion, marimba, vibraphone. Oh, my gosh. I think she does more to support Zappa than almost any other human being because she's one of the few people that are capable of playing some of the things that he puts down. His arrangements, as you can hear, are incredibly well-scripted. If you're not 100%...
Somebody, I commented on that when we were playing some of Frank Zappa's stuff
recently. Yeah, you did.
On the weekend.
In fact, well, we'll eventually get around to playing. He recorded the album Apostrophe at about the exact same time as he was recording this album. This album came out as the Mothers of Invention. Apostrophe just came out as a Frank Zappa album. But it were the same sessions, essentially, that put them all together. So it's the same personnel. And the way that the songs are put together are just absolutely incredible. These are some of the best players. And I think that Ruth Underwood in particular is ideal because you'll hear like all of these crazy vibraphone parts that pop up that are really crazy complex and they drive the song. She was a regular attendee at Garrick Theater in New York City when Zappa and the Mothers of Invention were like the resident band. And this is how she eventually got to know Zappa and eventually got hired by him. Here's her quote. Oh, I was probably one of those rather stiff people from the suburbs. I think some of us did understand and we kept coming back for more and more and more. I remember being very upset when they finally finished their stint at the Garrick Theater and went back to L.A. I felt as if the real heart had gone out of New York City and I had to get back on with my conservatory music training life, which seemed very dull after this. Eventually, it was in May 1969 when she married Ian Underwood, who was already playing with Zappa. So it was only natural for Ruth, at the time Komanoff, to be recruited into the band with her husband Ian. So we have Ian Underwood and Ruth Underwood playing on Overnight Sensation. All right, one more song for side one. I'm talking a lot, by the way, because I should let you know. I mean, the album is very short. It's under 35 minutes. So it gives me a lot of time to basically talk about the personnel and things like that. So that's why I'm doing that. I'm not trying to basically break up the album too much. But let's finish side one with a track called 50-50. Thank you. it's been a long time since I played this album with headphones on, and I'm just blown away by Zappa's guitar work. Maybe sometimes this album just seems to go by, and there's so much attention paid to the lyrics that you might not be listening to the instrumentation, but when you do, like, whoa, it's incredible, that guitar solo. And before that, you know, the violin solo was pretty incredible too. Do you know that was Gianluca Ponti playing violin on that? I should also credit the singer, Ricky Lanzalotti. That's the one song where Zappa pretty much sings virtually just the title of the song, and Ricky handles the rest of it. You know what he did before he worked for Zappa on this album, singing these songs? He was one of the lead singers from the Banana Splits, that Hanna-Barbera Saturday morning cartoon show.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la. Yeah, my gosh. We're giving away our ages here. But yeah, that's hard to believe. Died young. I just looked this up. He was only 35 when he passed away. Ricky Lanzalotti there is the singer from the song 50-50. Interestingly enough, he also sings this next track as well. It's called Zombie Wolf.
Out on an antique bed, and my spirit did a midnight creep. And though I'll never sleep no more, it seemed to me that it just ain't wise
that you ever wake up in the morning
with a zombie wolf behind your eyes, just about as evil as you could be.
Yeah.
have it. First track off of Side 2 back in the vinyl days. And since we're talking about albums, that's pretty much what all of these things were when they first came out. Days, this is before cassettes, if I remember correctly. Although he makes a reference to quadraphonic about, you know, he said her stereo was four-way, you know, so there was that happening.
Anyway. Maybe he was playing reel to reel.
that was definitely possible back at this time. Well, okay, we made it this far. Here is probably, I guess it's the song that everybody's been waiting for, you perverts. Everybody wants to know what Dynamo Hum is all about, so I'm going to let it roll and behave yourself. I mean, if you really want to have fun with it, listen to the awesome band and the instrumentation that's going on, because that really is the reason for the song's existence. The lyrics are just like silly batter thrown on top or icing on the cake. The song, just like Zombie Woof, I mean, you hear all those crazy changes. Is that progressive rock or is it jazz rock? I mean, it embarrasses most bands that would call themselves progressive rock because they wouldn't be capable of this sort of stuff. This is some of the most technically difficult music that was being made by just about anybody in 1973. And I'm not even just talking in rock and roll, just about anywhere. So the same thing applies to this track. Have fun with it. It's called Dynamo Hum.
I couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Hum. She strolled on over, said, "Look here, bum, I got a $40 bill, say you can't make me come. You just can't do it." She made a bet with her sister who's a little bit dumb. She could prove it any time all men was scum. I don't mind that you called me a bum, but I knew right away she was really gonna come. So I got down to it. I whipped off her bloomers and stiffened my thumb and applied rotation on a sugar plum. I poked and stroked till my wrist got numb, but I still didn't hear no Dynamo Hum. Dynamo Hum.
Dynamo Hum, Dynamo Hum. Where's this dynamo coming from? I done spent 3 hours and I ain't got a crumb from the dynamo. Dynamo, dynamo from the Dynamo Hum. Said, just get me wasted and you're halfway there, cause if my mind's tore up, then my body don't care. I rubbed my chinny chin chin and said, my, what sort of thing might this lady get high upon? I checked out a sister who was holding the bet and wondered what kind of trip the young lady was on. The $40 bill didn't matter no more when her sister got naked and laid on the floor. She said Dynamo might win the bet, but she could use a little. If I wasn't done yet, I told her,
just because the sun won a place in the sky, the reason to assume I wouldn't give her a try.
So I pulled on her hair, got her legs in the air, and asked if she had any cooties in there. She was buns up kneeling, I was wheeling and dealing. She surrendered to the feeling and she started into squealing. Dynamo watched from the edge of the bed with her lips just a twitching and her face gone red. Some drool rolling down from the edge of her chin while she spied the condition her sister was in. She quivered and quaked and clutched at herself while her sister made a joke about her mental health, till Dynamo finally did give in. But I told her all she really needed was some discipline. Kiss my aura, Dora. It's real Angora. Would y'all like some aura? Right here on the flora. And how about you, Fauna? You wanna? Sound like you're choking on something. Did you say you want some more? Well, here's some more. Oh, sure, look. You think I could interest you in a pair of zircon-encrusted tweezers? Wait a minute, let me sterilize them. Give me your lighter.
I couldn't say where she's coming from, but I just met a lady named Dynamo Hum. She strolled on over, said, "Look here, bum, I got a $40 bill, say you can't make me come. You just can't do it." I whipped off her bloomers and stiffened my thumb and applied rotation on a sugar plum. I poked and stroked till my wrist got numb, and you know I heard some Dynamo Hum. Some Dynamo Hum. Dynamo Hum. Dynamo Hum. Dynamo. Dynamo. Some Dynamo. And little Dynamo. And some Dynamo. And some Dynamo.
Well, so now you know, it's Tina Turner playing the role of Dynamo on that track. Let me okay, summarize this a little bit. Since his debut in 1965, Frank Zappa remained one of the busiest recording artists of his era and one of the hardest to pin down. Pulling from 12-tone composition to doo-wop, musique concrète to sophisticated funk, societal critiques to potty humor, orchestrated jazz to virtuosic electric guitar. Few, if any, pop artists could claim a wider array or mastery of influences. While juggling myriad styles to varying degrees, he released approximately 3 albums per year. His prolificacy, when combined with this confluence of ideas, usually overwhelmed and alienated the average listener, making his music something of a pariah, even on FM radio. Thus, this all changed instantly with the release of Overnight Sensation. Here, Zappa embraces traditional song structure while condensing the intensity of his elaborate arrangements. Where previous albums made haphazard cuts, these songs retain their groove, allowing the complex rhythms to draw the listener deeper into Zappa's mindset. The perversity of sex and gross commercialism offer a relentlessly consistent theme from song to song. As the narrator, Zappa remains bemused, reveling in the appalling details as they expand to absurd proportions. Musically, the entire album is astounding, but the lyrical premise evokes embarrassment and/or chortling. After a half century, there is still nothing else quite like Overnight Sensation. So we can sum this up now with the closing track, probably my favorite on the album, Totally Weird, about a guy who moves to Montana in order to grow dental floss. I don't know what dental floss is made of, but I don't think it's something that grows from the ground. What is dental floss made from? It's waxed something.
String of some sort.
Right? It's really, I guess that's something that I should know. But either that, but the whole thing plays again into society. And
could be made from hemp.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't think it is, though.
No.
But it could be. Well, this has been a ton of fun. And I really want to thank you all for tuning in. And you can join us on Friday, our series, of course. We're doing a series on nuggets. We're having a load of fun with that. So we'll be back at 5 o'clock in a couple of days. So hope you can join us then. And we'll also be back here next Wednesday with a brand new album to cover. Another one from the Top 40 from September of 1973. So we'll see you then, I hope, and be well. Take care, folks. Here's Frank Zappa from Overnight Sensation. And the song is Montana.
Might be moving to Montana soon, just to raise me up a crop of dental floss. Raising it up, waxing it down, in a little white box that I can sell uptown. By myself, I wouldn't have no boss, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
Raising my lonely dental floss.
Well, I just might grow me some beans, but I'd leave the sweet stuff to somebody else. But then, on the other hand, I would keep the wax and melt it down. Pluck some floss and swish it around. I'd have me a crop, and it'd be on top. That's why I'm moving to Montana.
Moving to Montana soon. Gonna be a dental floss tycoon.
Yes, I am.
Moving to Montana soon. Mental toss by
find me a horse just about this big, and ride them all along the borderline with a pair of heavy-duty zircon-encrusted tweezers in my hand. Every other wrangler would say I was mighty grand. By myself, I wouldn't have no balls, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss. Well, I might ride along the border with my tweezers gleaming in the moonlighty night. And then I get a cup of coffee and give my foot a push. Just me and the pygmy pony over by the dental floss bush. And then I might just jump back on and ride like a cowboy into the dawn, the Montana